Today is January 27th, year 2008. It's Sexagesima Sunday. We're going to talk about two topics today, about learning the Catholic faith and moderation. Now, learning the Catholic faith, of course, is the essential thing for salvation, without which nobody can be saved, because you need to possess the Catholic faith, which means you need to know it, you need to believe in it, and you need to profess it. As you notice in today's Gospel reading, our Lord was comparing the seed to the Word of God. And the Word of God is the thing that determines whether you're going to be saved or not. We even read that in, I think it's Matthew 12:37, by thy words thou shalt be justified and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Meaning, are your words the word of God or are your words the words of a heretic or a non-Catholic? Are your words matching what God is teaching us? Do you possess the Catholic faith? So he's saying, the word of God, depending on how you take that into your heart or don't take that into your heart, you're going to be saved or you're not going to be saved. And he gives us several reasons and several why that word doesn't take seed with certain people. But that already tells us that the first thing in our life, if we want to save our souls, is we have to learn the Catholic faith. That has to be our primary thing above all other considerations. So if you're not getting your minimal studying of the Catholic faith in daily because your life schedule's become so overwhelming, I would say you better make drastic changes in your lifestyle. Even if it means you have to quit your job and go out into a mountain or something for a pearl of your soul. But we're talking Bible reading in the morning, you come home at night and you read Alive of the Saints, some dogmatic books on the papal encyclicals and the ecumenical councils. Read my works to make it real easy for you because I've gone through the bulls. I'm constantly quoting the popes and putting all things in context. You want to be doing that every day, a minimum amount of time. And then you also want to be loving your faith so much that everything in your life is the Catholic faith first and foremost, and everything else comes second. We read in Proverbs 11:9, he says, the just shall be delivered by knowledge. Okay? And in Proverbs 17:16, it says, he that refuses to learn shall fall into evils if you don't learn the Catholic faith. And one of the signs in the final days of who's among the elect and faithful among the elect and who isn't, Daniel 12:10, he says, and many shall be chosen and shall be made white, and they shall be tried by fire. But the wicked shall deal wickedly, and the wicked shall not understand. But the learned shall understand. Now he's not talking about worldly wisdom and worldly learning. That's okay as a secondary thing. That's necessary in other arenas. But ultimately, it's not really necessary to save your soul. If you're stupid in a lot of worldly things, you can still save your soul. You need to know and you need to be learned in the Catholic faith. This is the prophet Daniel speaking. This is how we determine who's with us and who's not with us. This is how we weed out false brethren amongst us. If they're not learning the Catholic faith the way they should, and if they're not putting it in first place. A true child of the church puts the faith before all other considerations, before the Mass, before the sacraments, and before everything. So that means you have to sit down and make a learning in the faith. St. Paul even says in 1 Timothy 4:13-16, attend unto reading and exhortation into doctrine. Take heed to thyself in doctrine, be earnest in them. For doing so, thou shalt save both thyself and them that hear thee. To doctrine. So if you find yourself spending no time learning the faith, you got a big problem. You're on the road to damnation. You're not on the road to salvation. You better start increasing that and asking God to make you love it. The other thing is, too, it's not enough just to be reading it mechanically. You have to actually take it into your heart and understand. Eventually, that will happen if you're of goodwill. Okay, if you keep reading and stay with it and ask God to open up your understanding, Luke 24:45, and the Lord opened up their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. And Ecclesiasticus, I think it's 39, I'm not sure the verse, it says, if it shall please the great Lord, he will fill them with the spirit of understanding. So you have to ask God if you're having difficulty in the beginning. Lord, open my understanding. You see how he promises to do that for us. And when somebody's understanding is not open, that means he's doing something very bad in his life, or he's not asking God. And so God, first, if you don't ask him, he ain't going to give it to you. So simply, you got to ask him. Then, if you're doing something in your life that's not right, or if you're loving the world too much, like the people who hear the word, they embrace it very quickly, and then as soon as tribulation and persecution comes along, they abandon it. Which means their family members start to give them trouble, their work people at work give them trouble, they start to lose the lifestyle they used to have because now they're preaching the Word of God, and because they choose to love the world more than the Word of God, they abandon the Word of God, and they go towards the world. The other thing they're talking about in here, too, that can actually choke you off from learning your Catholic faith is a busy lifestyle, thorns and thistles. The guy that's out there, he's busy about all these things in the world, and by the end of the day, he can sit down and examine his conscience and say, have I studied anything? Now, this is what we're talking about learning now. Praying, too, is also your daily duty. And then you have to also several times during the week do acts of mortification. But we're not discussing that now. We'll briefly touch on that. We're talking about learning the Catholic faith. It's an easy way for you at the end of the day to say to yourself, what have I done today to learn the, have I done my daily scripture readings, the Catholic Bible with Catholic interpretations? Have I read my scriptures? Have I, when I came home at night, did I reserve aside 15 minutes before I went to bed maybe to open up a good book on the lives of the saints, papal encyclicals and ecumenical councils? Did I read, did you read some of the works I have on my website? Well, it'll make it really easy for you if you just read my books, I'll tell you. Go to my website and just read the stuff that's on there for now if you're not sure which books to read because they're very dangerous. But you do have to be learning the faith. The Holy Scriptures alone with the Catholic interpretations will fill your heart with so much of the Catholic teachings along with reading papal encyclicals and bulls and councils. And then Lives of the Saints at the nighttime, a little bit of that so you can get to see how the saints live their lives so they can be good Catholics and save your souls. So at the end of the day, if you're not doing that, and you've already got a problem, then if you're doing that but it's boring to you and you've been doing it for a while, you got a problem. You probably won't maintain it because you're not catching anything out of it. And it's like the person is falling on dead ground because you're doing something else in your life in which God has not, because God will open your understanding if you're doing it. That means you're not praying enough. You're not mortifying yourself enough. Therefore, God's not opening up your understanding when you're reading the scriptures. But the first thing starts, you have to say, God, help me to understand it and to love it. Because if you don't love it, you're not going to stay on with it. Because if you'll know you're on the right track when God starts to make you love the Word of God. He just, that's what we're talking about today, the Word of God, which is the Catholic faith above all things, so much that you're on fire for the love of that faith. Because that's really how we know God, by His Word. You know, if we don't know His Word, we're not really knowing God. We're knowing some other God. We're not knowing the true God. And so when you start to love that above all other things, so that if you didn't do that during the day, you're going to be real itchy. That's why you always have to put time for that, that you can't wait to get to the Word of God, to study about God, to read about God, to learn about God, to live about God. That has to be first. Then all your other stuff can come second, which you need, and your daily life duties, whatever your vocation is in life, that's all necessary. And we're going to get into that about moderation in the balanced Catholic life, because a balanced Catholic life involves not just praying, not even just learning the Catholic faith, not just doing acts of penance, but even recreating and doing your daily duties. It's mandatory you recreate. It's mandatory that you also do your daily duties that are put before you. All these things gain you grace. So the Catholic life is a multiple of things. The first pillar is prayer, mortification, the first two, and learning the Catholic faith. Those go together, by the way. And if you find out you're having trouble in any one of the areas, you're not loving the faith you should the way you should, you're not understanding it the way you should, you're not moderating your life the way you should, your passions are getting carried away and you can't control them, you're deficient prayer life, mortification, and if you're doing those things, maybe you're not doing sincere, you're doing for a selfish purpose, for your own, to make yourself look holy, your motives aren't right. And then you have to also be asking God, please open up my understanding. And then thirdly, you got to work at it. But that means in the beginning, when you start reading the Word of God, because you haven't been used to doing it, it's like any habit. When you start a bad habit, you can break it real easy in the beginning if you don't let it go on. But if you continue on with the bad habit, it becomes a monster, and then it's harder to end. Now, when you're starting to learn the Scriptures, it's going to take you a while to fall in love with the Word of God and to really, but if you stay with it, persevere and work at it, even though you're not understanding it for a while, and you're asking God within 1 month or so, He's going to start opening up those Scriptures to you, speaking to you and doing miracles to you if your heart is really right. And you will learn when you love the faith, you're thirsting for it. That's, the one scripture says, I can't get enough of it. It God opens your mind to understandings. I read the Bible, I don't know, maybe I read through 20 times already. And every time I read through it, I can't get enough of it. Every time we're reading watching a good biblical movie that's biblically accurate, I never get enough of it. There's always new thoughts, new things God brings to your mind and strengthen you in things you already know. And when you find yourself really loving it that way. And I always say to the brothers, there's only one thing we're allowed to be possessed and obsessed with, and that's God. If it's anything else, it's an idol, and you're in trouble. It's our duty to make God. Even St. Paul says, I judge myself not to know anything amongst you but Christ and Christ crucified. Okay? So that's got to be the first, very thing. If you find yourself talking all about your good things but in and of themselves, but that's all you're talking about, how to repair cars, football's a good thing, but that's all you're talking about, or computers, or whatever your job is, or whatever your hobby is, those things are fine. We have all those interests, and you can love a lot of things out there, but if those things are being dominant in your life, and not the Catholic faith, you're in damnation. Serious big problem. The people that are in that state don't even realize the perdition they're in. They repose comfortably and think, every day they wake up and think they're doing fine with God. I'm going to go to heaven. Little did I seek to realize, to really examine your conscience. That's what my sermon's trying to get you to do here. At the end of every day, and say, have I studied and read something of the Catholic faith during my day, during this day? Have I done my minimal work on it? Second question, is it sinking into my heart? Am I beginning to love it more? And then when you get to the part when you really love it, you don't even ask that question anymore. You're just on fire with it. You just say, I can't wait to read my scriptures. It's like that, I can't wait to read my dogmas or a good Catholic book. I just can't wait to read it, you know? That's my ultimate. If that's not happening in your life, you're in damnation. You're in big trouble. You know, I mean, you think about it. It says in Matthew 6:21, where that treasure is, there is thy heart also. So if you're not talking about the Catholic faith, how could you even think how could you even dare say you possess it? That's what we call a nominal Catholic. He's not really a Catholic, a Sunday Catholic. So now we just impressed on the first part of this sermon how very important it is to do that. You know, and you don't want to have the thorns and thistles of life because you're busy running hither and thither and doing all these things stop you from saying, wait, back off. Prayer time every day and learning the scriptures, okay? And penance several times during the week. You can do some penance. You have to do some mortification, okay? Do those things at the end of every day. Ask yourself if you have done those things. If your schedule becomes so overwhelming, and generally it's not that way, you can look at all, you know, you can fit in, you'll find out in your day, really. You can fit in along with your work in prayers, the minimal amount of studying the Catholic faith and recreation and all those things, you really could. I tell people, I say, well, okay, what are we talking about here? 10 minutes to 15 minutes of prayers in the morning for your daily morning prayers, along with 10 to 15 minutes of scripture, so a half hour for your working prayers. Right? You go, wake up a half hour earlier. It's a big deal. Go to bed a half hour earlier at night. That ain't a lot. And nothing. And when you start doing that, when I was working out in the world, when I had a workout, that's what I did. I woke up earlier and got all my stuff done in the morning. When I went to work, I was on fire. I was filled with the Word of God, and He gives you a zeal and a love for everything. It's just hard to explain. But if you're not putting the faith first, you're not getting all these great gifts that God will give you. And then, we're going to get into our next part about moderation. The main problem we have in the world today, there's a lot of things that are good in and of themselves, but the passions carry you away and you can't moderate them. For instance, eating, drinking, smoking. There's nothing evil about smoking cigarettes or smoking cigars. But what's problem is when you abuse it. See, usually when a person gets rid of one habit in this world, he goes to another one because he can't control his passions. And the reason that happens is because he's not right with God. He's not praying enough. He's not mortifying enough. He's not learning the faith. If you do those things, God will moderate your passions. There's nothing wrong with these things in moderation. You will learn how to cut it back and do it the right way. Drinking, for instance, with Ecclesiasticus 31:35, it says, wine was created from the beginning to make men joyful, not to make them drunk. So that's an easy one. If you just got drunk, then you know you went too far. If you did it purposely, it would be a mortal sin. If you didn't do it purposely, it would be a venial sin. And you just should have watched it. Sometimes it's not even a sin if you don't know how strong the thing is, and you're fooled by it. But it says many places in here about the proper use and how good wine is even, with music and all that. Eating is necessary. But if you overeat, you become fat and you can get all kinds of health problems. If you oversmoke, it's bad. And that's all has to do, people, but it's not those. You see, modern society tries to stay away from all those things. That's not the problem. The alcoholics don't realize you weren't born that way. You don't got no alcoholic DNA gene in here. Your problem is lack of moderation because you're not right with God. But, and it is a curse. They really can't control themselves, folks, because they don't pray, they don't know the true God, and they're not searching for the true God, and they're not learning their faith. So therefore, God lets this devil come into them that dominates their passions. They really can't. But at the moment where they are now, and I'm going to tell all you people out there why you can't. Because you're not seeking the true God, you're not seriously asking Him to help you, you're not praying to Him, you're not learning your faith, and even if you happen to get rid of one of these problems, you're going to go into another habitual thing, where you, even in good things, you can overwork. A workaholic, the guy's always working. Or over-recreation, the person's always recreating. He's not doing anything else. This is all immoderate use of the passions. You've got to moderate and guide your passions and let your reason conquer it. Don't let your passions take you over. But if that's happening in your life, I know how it was when I was out there, you're not going to be able to overcome unless you do what I tell you. That first thing is to become Catholic, to go to the Catholic God for help, the Catholic God, and start praying the rosaries and praying the Catholic prayers and start learning the Catholic faith and start mortifying yourself. And I guarantee you, you will moderate your passions. We don't tell the alcoholic that he never can drink a drink in his life anymore. That's a lie. That's making a mockery out of God's grace. You certainly could. And you could moderate it. This is proof from day one in Catholic Europe when they had the little kids even drinking wine. There was moderation. It's not a genetical thing. It's not a DNA thing. It's a demon that really is in there, which you can control once you get right with God. And when you do, God then teaches you the proper use of everything. The proper time to do it. The proper amount. And the proper way to do it. And then your life becomes totally joyful. We always use food as an example. If you overeat, that's a great poison. You're poisoning yourself, but food is not evil. If you overwork, that's you're obsessed with it. You got to sit, and this takes work too. When you start praying and you start studying, you also have to. Well, my recreation, I set time limits. I go an hour and 15 minutes. Even if you have to set an alarm, what I do, I set the alarm in an hour. You know, so I give myself 15 minutes to close the turn off when you're doing a military game or something. So I got 15 minutes to close off this turn. I'm out. Hour 15 minute, my recreation is done. Weekends you can do more. Depending on how you want to set your schedule, but it has to be militarily like that. I'm going to work on my computer stuff till this time, and I stop it like a military man. The bell's off, I'm done. I go to my prayers, or I go to my eating. It's time to eat now. I go to my recreation. It's time to do my reading. It's time to do my Bible. It's beautiful. When you get your life into that habitual set, it becomes habitual good things now. But I will tell you, you need to ask God for help so you can moderate your passions. Now, we're going to read about some really great things that St. Ambrose teaches about moderation. And I'm telling you people already, you're not going to be able to do it unless you really appeal to the Catholic God. Start praying Catholic prayers, come into the Catholic Church, learn the Catholic faith, even if you're not in it yet, but you're appealing to the Catholic God, you're a catechumen or pre-catechumen. Ask God for these things. Ask Him to regulate these things and help you, to help you regulate your passions. Now, we read about there's a couple of verses on that where we're talking about moderation. Some good scripture verses on that. We read one of them where it says about overeating, which is Proverbs 25:16. Thou hast found honey? Eat what is sufficient for thee, lest being glutted therewith thou vomit it up. Now, honey's good. There's nothing wrong with honey. It's a very good thing. Eat it healthy. Eat too much, you're going to vomit it up. You do anything too much. If you're praying too much, you're committing sin. Oh, you know why? Because you've got other duties. I tell the story many times about the feminist housewives. They didn't want to take care of their homes. They were charismatics. They would all go to these charismatic prayer groups, but it was a way to get out of housework. You're committing sins. Because at that time, you've got to do your daily duty. And if you're supposed to be doing your daily duty and you're praying, you're committing sin. And mortal sin even if you keep doing that. So it's a balance. If you're praying when you should be learning the faith. That's why you got to get the right balance. If you've got too many prayers, you can also overwhelm yourself with prayer. And then you should also then back off and do some more studying, reading in the Catholic faith. And you will learn that when you're reading scriptures and all that, that's a form of prayer in and of itself. Okay, so you're learning about good. It's not the matter of these. It's the misuse of good things. We read this in Ecclesiasticus 36:32-34 about overeating. Be not greedy in any feasting, and pour not out thyself upon any meat. For in many meats there will be sickness and greediness, and turn to choler. By surfeiting many have perished, but he that is temperate shall prolong life. And it talks about when you do that too, you can't even sleep good at night. You're rolling around in bed. You're having nightmares because your belly's all out. It's just not even, don't even feel good. It's not. So moderation. God's not against eating good things even. And feasting. We feast. But everything has to be done in moderation. And God will give that balance to your life. So the answer is not smoking is evil. No, it ain't evil. It's just you're not moderating it. The abuse of smoking is evil. If it's dominating to the point where it's interfering with your life, then you have to work on it. You know, and God will do that for you. Because start cutting down. However you're doing, start weaning down till you get to a certain level. Ron is a good example of proper smoking. I've observed him many years. He knows how to do it. He goes out there and I see how he does it. I don't know how many cigarettes you smoke today, but you really got yourself have to sit down and put that up and mark it and say, I'm going to cut it down a little bit, and then stop at that one level where it's sufficient. You don't have to quit it altogether. You don't have to quit eating altogether because other people overeat. You don't have to quit drinking because some people get drunk. You don't have to quit recreating because some people over-recreate. You know, so it's the real key is moderation, and we're going to read about right here. Oh, it talks about, I love this one here. Ecclesiasticus 32:6-8. Where there is no hearing, pour not out thy words, where people aren't willing to listen to you. And be not lifted up out of season with thy wisdom. That's another issue. That's not the one I wanted to quote, but that's interesting. When to talk, when not to talk, who to speak and who not to speak to. But it says, a concert of music and a banquet of wine is as a carbuncle set in gold, as a signet of an emerald in a work of gold. So the melody of music with pleasant and moderate wine, which gives you that nice warm feeling, but you don't get drunk, and it gives you that nice listening to music. This is why God, Jesus himself, was always drinking wine, you know. Nothing wrong with it. You overdrink it, then you got a problem. And you know that happens when you get drunk. Now, that's an easy one, but smoking sometimes is a little hard to do. So you'll know if it's really dominating your life too much, it's beginning to be very expensive, it's overly costly, you've gone too far with it. And that can happen with anything. I know people who love cars, and they go too far with cars. Everything in their life is cars, cars, cars. They're out there repairing cars, driving cars, riding cars. You talk to the guy, he's Mr. Car. Now, if God was a car, he could save his soul. But God's not a car. He ain't going to save your soul. If he went to judgment day and God was a car, fine, pal, then you can save your soul. But God is not a car. You better get to know the true God, because he's the one who's going to judge you on judgment day. He's the one you need to know. There's nothing wrong with knowing those things, you know, or how to repair things or fix things or mathematics or computers, which I love all those things, a lot of those things. But just make sure you keep it in its proper perspective and moderation and its due season when you need to do it, and you delve into it full scale when you're doing it. But make sure the Catholic faith is your first thing you're delving into with your whole heart. Our Lord said, Prophet Jeremiah says a really great thing. Jeremiah 29:6, he says, when you seek the Lord, you shall find him. But listen to this. When you seek him, if you seek him with your whole heart, your whole heart. And I say today, you go home and say, am I really doing my daily readings on the Catholic faith the way I should? Number one. Number two, am I beginning to love it? Or is it distasteful for me and just boring? You got big problems. First of all, I say, don't quit reading because you're bored. Ask God what you're doing wrong on your knees. In all humility, get down on your knees and put your head on the ground. And say, God, I'm just a worm of a man. I must be doing something wrong. I must be full of pride, and it's always pride. As to why, am I not praying enough? Am I not mortifying myself enough? Ask God to help you. Now think about it. If you don't do that, God will not help you. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and nobody shall open. If you ask with a true heart. But if you don't ask, you're not even on first base. I had that question even with that homosexual guy I was trying to convert. And he said, God created homosexuals, which is blasphemy. He was not only a homosexual, he was a blasphemer and a heretic. But I was nevertheless still trying to convert him. I said, you know what your real problem is? You know God didn't create homosexuals. You just want to continue to be one and justify your sinful lifestyle. And I said, Mr. Rex, you have to answer me one thing right now. Answer me one thing right now. If Jesus spoke to you directly and says, I can cure you from this affliction in every way, root it right out of your whole life, what would you say? He got nervous because he has to give up what he loves. He would say, yes, Lord, do it for me. He wouldn't say yes. I said, okay, mister, you just proved to me what the root of sin is, your own will, your own perverse heart. You want to do it. And so you're making up scientific excuses for your own sin. You don't want to overcome it. My point in that is ask God for help. Anybody who's afflicted with the homosexual sin or whatever it is, all mortal sins will send you to hell. It doesn't have to be homosexuality. It could be adultery. It could be a stealing, a murderer, a mafia man, a cheater who's just stealing, somebody who's simply just calumny, mortally sinful calumny. Whatever your problem is, you really got to ask God. And in all humility, if you get to say, God, I really got this problem. Please help me with it. Bless the mother you pray. And with a sincere heart, God will help you with it. Now, getting back onto this point of moderation, this is so important for people to know out there, because that's the reason a lot of people get carried away in endeavors and they don't know how to come back and cut off that thing and go to the next topic. But sometimes people are so obsessed with a particular thing, that's their whole life. And then it's overwhelming and it's out of proportion is what I'm saying. And it has to do with knowing when to speak, when not to speak, what to speak about, and what not to speak about. We're going to first talk about moderation. St. Ambrose talks about beautiful stuff. Boy, it's the church fathers. Bless God for giving us these holy men. And it's this three books on the duties of the clergy by St. Ambrose, Bishop of Milan, Book 1. And he says, let there be a door to thy mouth, that it may be shut when need arises, and let it be carefully barred, that none may rouse thy voice to anger. He means unrighteous anger. And thou pay back abuse with abuse. Thou hast heard it read today. Be angry and sin not. Therefore, although we are angry, thus arising from the motions of our nature, not of our will, let us not utter with our mouth. He's talking about unrighteous anger. Let us not utter with our mouth one evil word, lest we fall into sin, but there let there be a yoke and a balance to the word, to thy words. That is humility and moderation, that thy tongue may be subject to thy mind. Let it be held in check with a right tight rein. Let it have its own means of restraint, whereby it can be recalled to moderation. Let it utter words tried by the scales of justice, that there may be seriousness in our meaning, weight in our speech, and due measure in our words. The same care must be taken that our speech proceed not from evil passions, from a bad motive. If you have evil in your heart, or envy towards a brother, or hatred, envy is a form of hatred. You may say, I don't really outwardly hate my brother, but I envy him. You hate him. You know, you don't realize it. And when you start attacking your brother unjustly, you hate him. You may not see it that way. It's envy. That is when, unless you weed that out of your heart, you're not going to be able to control your mouth. Now, if you're trying to overcome that sin, the way to start doing that is say it to yourself in your mind, ask, did I overstate the case? Am I being nasty? Am I being mean? And if you do that in your own mind and then bridle it and don't say anything, you'll get a lot of grace from God, and that's how you'll overcome it. You'll even begin to realize your own faults in that area, and that's how you conquer sin, by prayer first, by mortifications, and working at it. You go, and you, he says, gives perfect things on it. He says, the same care must be taken that our speech proceed not from evil passions, but from good motives. For here it is that the devil is especially on the watch to catch us. For if anyone takes heed to this, he will be mild, gentle, modest. For in guarding his mouth, in restraining his tongue, and in not speaking before examining, pondering, and weighing his words, as to whether this should be said, that should be answered, or whether it be suitable time for this remark, he certainly is practicing modesty, gentleness, and patience if he does those things. And you'll catch yourself even, unless you're very envious to the guy, you're not even going to be thinking about that. You can just blurt it out. But the point is, if you don't start catching it, you will start blurting it out, and it's going to get even worse. He gets onto this here. I don't have that here. He tells you how it proceeds into even great crimes if you don't bridle this. So he will not burst out into speech through displeasure or anger. Let him act thus, for fear that his words, which ought to grace his inner life, should at the last plainly show and prove that there is some vice in his morals, that he's in mortal sin, and that he's living a wicked life. Now that's just on moderating your speech. Now he talks about some verses here on moderation in general. And that's on the same chapter, book one. And he talks about there are three things to be noticed in the actions of our life. First, our passions are to be controlled by our reason. Next, we ought to observe a suitable moderation in our desires. And lastly, everything ought to be done at the right time and in the proper order. All these qualities shone forth so conspicuously in the holy men that it is evident that they were furnished with what men call the cardinal virtues. Let us now consider what becomes an act of life. We note that there are three things to be regarded in connection with this subject. One is that that passion should not resist our reason. And that way, in that way, only can our duties be brought into line with what is seemly. For if passion yields to reason, we can easily maintain what is seemly in our duties. Next, we must take care, at least either by showing greater zeal or less than the matter we take up demands, we look as though we were taking up a small matter with great parade, or we're taking up a great matter with but little care. Mountains out of molehills, molehills out of mountains. What he's saying, when you don't moderate yourself right, you're either not speaking when you should, because something really grossly is being wrong in the camp that needs to be addressed, and you're keeping your mouth shut, that's an evil, or open your mouth over a small wrong that's not a real big thing and making a mountain out of it. So he's saying, reason will dictate if you moderate your passion. And you say, hold back, am I overstating the case? Is this really a big deal? How important is the priority on that? Now, when you have envy towards a certain person and hatred, a secret hatred, you're going to expound things. You're going to get into detraction and calumny. Even detraction. Maybe thoughts the person really has, but you're going to bring those things up. All kinds of sins flow from that. So he's saying, when you moderate and you subject your passions to reason, and again, folks, that can only be done when you go to the Catholic God. People are going to be in a state right now where that's going to be impossible if you do the first things I told you. But this is with the Catholic Church, and this is solid teachings of here, of how we're supposed to let our reason moderate our passions. Okay? And that means it goes both ways. If we're not firm enough when we should be firm, or if we're too weak, or we're weak when we shouldn't be weak, you have to really assess the situation for what it is. If it's a serious matter and you don't address it, it's going to overrun the community, it's going to take you over, and before you know it, you're all in mortal sin and damnation. The devils are going to be running all over the place because you didn't do your duty when you should have spoke up. Or, if you speak up on small matters and blow them out into mountains, you're going to bring devils into the camp, and the same result happens on both sides. Mountains out of molehills and molehills out of mountains. That's what he's saying here. So he said, thirdly, as regards moderation in our endeavors and works, it is also with regard to order in doing things and in the right timing of things. I think that everything should be open and straightforward. He's saying when to do it and when not. It is clear then that these and the remaining virtues are related to one another. For courage, which in war preserves one's country from the barbarians, or at home defends the weak or comrades from robbers, is full of justice, and to know on what plan to defend and to give help, how to make use of the opportunities of time and place, is a part of prudence and moderation. And temperance itself cannot observe due measure without prudence. To know fit opportunity and to make return according to what is right belongs to justice. And all these two, large-heartedness is necessary in fortitude of mind and often of body, so that we may carry out what we wish. A community rests upon justice and goodwill. Two parts of the former revenge and private passions are not recognized by Christians. Okay, what is seemly should, he goes, what is seemly should always shine forth in our life. What passions then ought we to allow to come to a head, and which should we restrain? And he gets into all different things on that. And how? If anyone preserves an even tenor in the whole life, the method of all that he does and sees, there is order and constancy in his words, and moderation in his deeds, and what is seemly stands forth conspicuous in his life and shines forth a mirror. He's saying if you're like that and you have the even keel, you're just, even when you get righteously angry when you should, you don't get angry when you should, which is unrighteous anger. They see an even keel, a balance. Reason dominating, not passion. You're not doing it out of hatred. You're not doing it out of revenge. Even when you kill somebody, which God has his chosen people kill people, even God kills them, and we have to kill people as Catholic soldiers and Catholic armies, or God demands the Inquisitions to kill people, it's never done for revenge, ever. It's always done for justice. Although God is the one who does the revenge, okay, well, what he's trying, it's out of justice because of offense against God. So even when we have to kill somebody, literally burn him on a stake if he's a heretic or a witch, it's not for revenge because of what he did to me. No, it's because of what he did to God and what he's doing to souls. There's justice always involved in that act, you see. And he's saying there should be, besides, a pleasant way of speaking so that we may win goodwill of those who hear us. And see if they see you always crabbing and complaining and murmuring and speaking out of tune when you should be angry and you're not, or when you should be angry and you're not angry. They look at and observe you. And they go, if that's what Catholicism is all about, I don't want nothing to do with you. You're like the rest of the pagans in the world, and I want to get away with that. You will not convert a goodwill person, but you will make friends with a lot of evil people. You will make friends with a lot of evil people. So it says, there should be, besides, a pleasant way of speaking, so that we may win the goodwill of those who hear us, and make ourselves agreeable to all our friends and fellow citizens in the sense of, he says, if possible, you know. And that agreeable means, if a goodwill person sees something wrong and you don't say something about it, he's going to say you're a wimp. You're a non-judgmentalist. I don't want nothing to do with that guy. He's a coward, you see. Has to do with a lot of that. When to speak, when not, how, when to be firm, when not to be so firm. The one is the mark of artfulness and the other of vanity. We must also guard against the motions of our soul. The soul must always watch and look after itself so as to guard itself against itself. For there are motions in which there is a kind of passion that breaks forth, as it were, in a sort of rush. Wherefore the Greek had called it orm, because it comes on suddenly with force. That's what addiction is. It does that to you. It's force. It's not even you. That's what I'm telling you, folks. If you're in the lust sins or anything, overeating, overdrinking, whatever, there's smoking too much and you want to moderate, it's that devil in there that's pushing you to lust after, it's forcing you into it. Only God can deliver you from that and help you moderate it, as far as smoking is concerned, and lust to eliminate it. So he goes, because it comes out suddenly and with some force, and these, there lies no slight force of soul or of nature. Its force, however, is twofold. On the one side, it rests on passion. On the other, on reason, which checks passion and makes it obedient to itself and leads it whether it will and trains it by careful teaching to know what ought to be done and what ought to be avoided so as to make it submit to that kind of tamer. And you can only do that with God's grace. And if you offended God really grievously, and anything you're doing, he pulled his grace away, you're never going to be able to do what he's telling you here. But with God's grace, then, you have to take the advice I'm giving you on top of it and work at that. Really work at that. And then in a short period of time, with the miraculous metal novena and rosaries and prayer to God, he will definitely, you will, if you're of a good will, overcome it. You'll overcome your mortally sinful behavior or venially sinful addiction or whatever your habit might be, or even mortal sin might be. That's the way you have to approach that. You have to be honest with yourself. You have to get down and really examine your conscience in these things. He says, for we ought to be careful never to do anything rashly or carelessly, or anything at all for which we cannot give a reasonable ground. For though a reason for our action is not given to everyone, yet everybody looks into it. Nor indeed have we anything whereby we can excuse ourselves. For though there is a sort of natural force in every passion of ours, yet the same passion is subject to reason by the law of nature itself, and obedient to it. Even the pagan knows that. God will even be more merciful to a pagan who never heard of Catholicism, give him all those graces to regulate himself to come to God, more than a fallen away Catholic. Because once you know God and fall away, you become really under a double curse from God. Really bad. And that's when you see some of the worst sins being committed by Jews and fallen away Catholics. The most perverse, evil sins by those two groups there. Because then God pulls his grace away, and even if you wanted to try to do these things, you wouldn't be able to until you turn back to God. Wherefore, it is the duty of a careful watchman, so as to keep a lookout. The passion may not overrun reason, nor utterly forsake it, lest by outstripping it, confusion be caused, and reason be shut out, and come to nothing by such desertion. He's saying you even begin to lose your reasoning. What you're now doing is not reasonable, and people see it. You're overdoing something. You're now killing yourself. You got drunk every night, and you keep saying, oh, I'm never going to do this again, and you do it again. That's not reasonable. Disquiet destroys constancy. Withdrawal shows cowardness and implies indolence. For when the mind is disquieted, passion spreads wide and far when you're disrupting your mind, and in a fierce outburst endures, not in the reins of reason, and feels not the management of its driver so as to be turned back. You become out of control. Addictive behaviors, they have when you're an addictive person to anything. And you're just, boom, you're on that. You got to do this. God will moderate all these things in your life. Wherefore, as a rule, not only is the soul perturbed and reason lost, but one's countenance gets inflamed by anger or by lust. It grows pale with fear. It contains not itself in pleasure and cannot bear joy. They're never happy. The people who always complain are not happy. And if you're not, you got a problem. If you're not, Jesus promises His peace and joy to you. If you're always complaining, there's all dead giveaway signs. You better start working on myself. I'm a serious problem. And I will say, pride goes before the prize, the beginning of it all. Because people don't want to get down on their knees and really submit themselves truly to God and say, I'm a worthless, stinking, lousy worm, Lord. I'm a dumb man. I'm a filthy man. I'm a sinful man. Which even the saints would say, if it wasn't by the grace of God, that's what they would be. And some of them were that way, like me. And then God can make you better. How could God make you better? If you don't first humbly get down on your knees and ask for God's help in this matter. Because if not, this envy, this in moderation, which is burning in your bosom, grows and grows and grows. So you end up going, and you'll never be able to stay in a good Catholic community with that. You'll end up going back out into the world with a bunch of people who are like you, just picking one another apart, you know, at one another's expenses, using one another, hating one another really, taking advantage of one another, you know, lying and cheating and stealing to one another. This is the world you go back in, talking about stupid little things that ain't going to get you anything on the Day of Judgment Day when you go before the throne of God. So if you don't want to be around godly people and good Catholics, that's one of the signs that you got some work to do. It's not a lot of work to do until that happens. And loving the Catholic faith is where this starts in praying. So we'll end up right here in this last passage. It says, when this happens, when you lose this control and you let your passions take over, he says, when this happens, then the natural judgment and weight of character is cast aside. And that constancy which alone, indeed, in thought can keep up its own authority and what is seemly can no longer be retained. You can no longer make even right judgments. You start making rash judgments. You say things about people that aren't true. And other people see it in you. They know it. People that are even, let's say, Catholics, even just with a natural law, can say, I know that guy's just saying that because he's envious or he's jealous. He overstated the case. You've got to really examine these things. All people, and we have to be here as an enlightened beacon to the world. If we don't stop them in their own camp, and we all started doing that, they're going to say, I don't want to come into this camp. These people are as bad as the pagans in the world around them, you know? And where's the true charity and all of that even? Okay? But fiercer passion springs from excessive anger, unrighteous anger, which the pain of some wrong kindled, of some wrong received kindles within us. I was wrong. Even if you really were wrong, you still don't. You bear the injury. You don't take it personal. If it's a sin, you got to rebuke the guy, but don't, oh, look what he did to me. Then you start looking for revenge, and that's never good. Justice is fine. Revenge is not good. I think we hit all the topics for today. So the main two topics we're going to re-summarize up here is learning your Catholic faith for those who are Catholic. And if you're not Catholic, you too learn the Catholic faith. That's how you become Catholic and come into the church. Without those things, you can't be saved. So that's square number one. And to learn the Catholic faith, which means you really, really are going to understand it and to know and believe it, you got to be praying to God, asking for help. You have to have humility to admit that we're rotten sinners and we're nothing without God's grace. Ask Him to make sure that you put the faith above all things and He opens up your heart and you do these things. That's first and foremost. Then all these other things I just spoke to you about, which is all, I always say, us Catholics aren't Protestants. There's things we got to do. And then you got to work out your salvation in fear and trembling, even with God's help and all His grace. Because this is in 1 Peter 4:18. If the just man shall scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly sinner appear? And then you got to get in there and learn about moderation. And I was just talking about here moderating things that are good in themselves. The other problem which prevents moderation is envy in the heart, because that's beyond moderation. Your envy is going to burst out into an unjust attack against that person. And sometimes people even make jokes, but they're not really jokes. When you joke at the expense of somebody and make statements that are really nasty, it's not charitable. You just don't do that. There's good jokes and there's bad jokes. I'm not going to get into it. We have a sense of humor here in Music of the Ram, but we certainly do. God, there's nothing wrong with a sense of humor, but the proper way and the proper sense of humor, not at the expense of other people, and not trying to make rash judgments and say things that are nasty or bitter. And then people come out and how they get away with it. They go, I was just joking. No, you're not. Every idle word you shall answer for. That's not a joke. We Catholics don't joke like that. That's the nasty thing. You don't do that. There's plenty of nice, good humor and jokes you can have with your brothers, and we do that here. God, really, I say, God's the only one who can give, has a real good, true sense of humor, and he knows how to give it to you the right way. So you just got to be careful. And even you've got to understand now with these issues that we talk about, faith and moderation. So I pray that the Catholic God will give all you people out the grace to understand what I just said in the sermon. And I'm giving you the only way in which you can be able to, first of all, save your soul and then overcome your other problems. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878, and can be accessed on my website at www.johnthebaptist.us.